As we come to this time of communion, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we come to your table to remember your Son, Father, I pray that you would give us your Holy Spirit, that we would have ears to hear and hearts to receive your word, and that we would see your Son for the treasure that he really is. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. The wonderful thing about this time of communion is we get to take a step back from our weeks and consider the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we get to think about our lives in the past week. And the question that I want you to consider as you think back on the week that you've just had is, what has been the treasure of your heart? What has been the treasure of your heart? What has been consuming your thoughts? What have you been thinking most about, concerned most about this week? And as you consider these questions, turn with me in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And as you turn there, let me give you a little context. Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, the second one, partly because there were competing treasures in the hearts of the Corinthians. They had seen Paul's life. Paul, who considered everything as loss for the sake of Jesus Christ, everything as loss. And they just weren't sure about that. In their hearts, they were wavering between treasuring their own lives, their own comforts and securities, or treasuring Jesus and his death and his atoning work at the cross. It's a hard thing to treasure the fact that God is holy and perfect and we are not, that we are sinful and wicked and evil at our core, and that we're in need of a Savior. We're tempted in much the same way as the Corinthians, always wanting to make much of our problems and pains, to make much of our lives and all of our accumulating, all of our accomplishing, when what we should be treasuring is Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't know what it's like for you, but every day I wake up and somehow this world just seems more precious and more permanent and more urgent than being made right with God. And I have to come to his word to learn otherwise. So, that's what this time of communion is for, and that's what this passage does for us. So let's read it. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 through 7. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," this God has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Two things I want us to think about in light of this scripture this morning. First, notice the treasure that we are not in these verses. Verse 6 reveals that our hearts are dark and blinded. We need light shown into our hearts, and it's not us doing the shining. For God has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. He is the one who is doing it, and it's his glory that is being revealed. To understand the true extent of our frailty, look down at verse 7. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Earthen clay jars is what Paul calls us. We are fragile and cheap. And ultimately, we decay. So, if you are treasuring your own works, your own goodness, your own strength, your own wisdom, your own dashing personality, these verses clearly tell you that your hope and your treasure is in the wrong place. Because of the second thing, notice the treasure that God is. Verse 6, God is the creator. In the beginning, God spoke, created light, separated it from the darkness. And now that same God is doing, who brought physical light out of physical darkness, is doing something equally impossible in the hearts of those who believe in him. He has shown and displayed the light of the good news of Jesus Christ into dark, evil, rebellious, blinded hearts. In the very next chapter, Paul explains how great this treasure actually is. In chapter 5, he says that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. This is good news. What could be more urgent or precious for us than to know these truths? For those of you who are here this morning who do not know the great treasure that Jesus Christ is, there is good hope in these verses for you. Because as these verses so clearly and infallibly say, God is able to open blind eyes, to soften hardened hearts, to satisfy hungry souls, to bring his light where there is only darkness. I pray you will turn away from those unsatisfying treasures of this life, wealth, fame, you can fill it in, whatever it is for you. So as the bread and juice come around this morning, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, if he is not your treasure, the bread and the juice that are coming around have never saved a single soul. So you can let those pass, and I pray you would talk with someone before you leave. There are many here who love the Lord Jesus and know the treasure and the delight that he is. If Jesus is your treasure this morning, then let us remember who it is that brings light into our darkened souls and forgiveness to our self-grasping souls. Let us confess our tendency to be enthralled with lesser things and unsatisfying things. And in these moments, as the men now come forward to serve us, I hope you will consider your life and turn away from anything that you've treasured more than Christ. And if you will not turn, please let the bread and juice pass and speak with someone. But for those of you who do desire that Christ be your all in all and count everything as lost for the sake of having Christ, then I pray you would remember that Jesus Christ bled and his body was torn, that we who have only known sin might become the righteousness of God. As you treasure these things, as you treasure this good news, please take the bread and the juice on your own.